Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Good morning, Chicagoland. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. 2001, 9/11, four coordinated terrorist attacks launched by the Islamic terrorist group Al-Qaeda upon the United States in New York City and Washington, D.C. On Tuesday, September 11th, the attacks killed almost 3,000 people, caused at least $10 billion in property and infrastructure damage, something we will never forget 15 years ago. Good morning, Mr. Dave Schwann.
Good morning, Dave.
It is 15 years since that fateful day, and I know Roger Badish is joining us.
Hard to believe.
As well. Hard to believe that it's been 15 years ago.
Yeah, it's and Dave and I were just talking about paramount moments in lives and in generations and what some people remember and what some people don't. And this one was still seared into my brain as to what was happening at those moments in my life.
Yeah, where were you, Roger?
Well, actually, I was in the car driving to teach at Chicago Vocational Career Academy, one of my early teaching jobs, and I was teaching broadcasting. It was a vocational program, and it's a long walk from the main office to where my classroom was. And in that time, the first plane had hit. And it hadn't hit when I was in the car parking, but by the time I walked to the classroom and then I turned the TV set on and jerry-rigged an antenna because I wanted the kids to watch a certain program, and I saw the news report of the first tower being hit, then while I'm watching it, the second tower is hit. So my entire lesson plan for the day completely changed.
Interesting.
And the kids were just shaken by the whole thing.
Unfortunately, history in the making.
Yeah.
During this
whole
process. Dave, what about you?
I was at Illinois Radio Network, and I had just finished doing an hourly update. We were doing two-minute updates for the stations, the affiliates around the state that always went down at 45 past the hour. Well, think about when the time that first plane hit. It was 7:40 or 8:46 New York time, 7:46 our time. And I was on live, and I had just gotten done at 8:47. I made a quick phone call to someone. Took less than a minute, and opened the studio door, and my colleague, who was doing sports at the time, was we happened to have on NBC, the Today Show,
right
on a monitor in the newsroom, and he said, Dave, you may want to take a look at this. A plane has just hit the World Trade Center. Well, they were just, you know, now getting around to showing that, and then as Roger was saying, you know, when we were during the course of watching that, the second plane hit, and then we knew that it was not just some sort of a terrible accident, that this was on purpose.
Now, I was at home. My wife had gone to work. My five-month-old son was with our nanny, and I was getting dressed upstairs, and very similarly, Dave. Now, I listened to WGN Radio on my way to work, but I had the Today Show on. Like you did, and I was watching it because that show is on tape delay in Chicago. It's on a 1 hour tape delay. So the half hour of the show at 8 o'clock started off outside. They were throwing Al to the weather, and all of a sudden the image on the screen switched to live in New York. Where they were still very confused. I think anyone would tell you, any of these networks, nobody knew what was going on as it was happening.
Well, that's right. And not only that, in addition to the World Trade Center, all within that hour, I went down to the lobby of the building where the network was at the time, and in between the time I had left our office and when I saw the security guard at the entrance to the building, he was talking about the Pentagon being hit.
Yeah.
All of this happening at the same time.
Well, and at first they thought it was a commuter plane that hit.
Yes.
So we have amazing audio content online at WGNradio.com of 9/11. What I did is I pulled the content that I remember watching from NBC's Today Show with Katie Couric and Matt Lauer. Let's take a listen.
As Matt just mentioned, we have a breaking news story to tell you about. Apparently, a plane has just crashed into the World Trade Center here in New York City. It happened just a few moments ago, apparently. We have very little information available at this point in time. But on the phone, we do have Jennifer Oberstein, who apparently witnessed this event. Jennifer, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, Jennifer.
Hi, Katie.
Hi. Can you please tell me what you saw and give me any information about what's going on there?
Yes, I have to tell you, it's quite terrifying. I'm in shock right now. I came out of the subway at Bowling Green. I was heading to work in Battery Park at the Ritz-Carlton Hotel, and I come out, and I heard a boom, looked up, and there was a big ball of fire. I'm now looking north at the World Trade Center, and it is the left twin tower, if I'm looking north. I'm in Battery Park right now, and you can hear the fire engines and the emergency crews behind me. And it is unbelievable. When the fire first burst, it was a... Hello?
Go ahead. We can hear you.
...in air like I've never seen before. And as you know, I used to work in news. I've never seen any fire like this in the air. And the pieces of the building were flying down. It looks like... It's like the top, I can't even tell you, maybe 20 floors. Intense smoke. It's horrible. I can't even describe it.
Do you have any idea what kind of plane it was?
I'm sorry?
Do you have any idea what hit the World Trade Center?
What it was?
Yeah, what kind of plane? We're getting reports that an airplane hit the building.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Honestly, I was walking up, and it looked up and saw a big boom and fire. You know, I got to tell you, we were all saying around here that it was very interesting that it would be a bomb and it would be so high up. So perhaps it was a plane. We have no talk of a plane. However, I have to tell you, there are still things flying in the air. I mean, it's mind-boggling, and it's horrifying.
Jennifer, it's Matt Lauer. I'd like to ask you, while you were close to the building, or have you, since the explosion, seen anyone who's been injured being taken out of the building? Are there ambulances dealing with people on the sidewalk around the building?
No, I have not. I have not gotten that close. I have to tell you that my father works in the World Financial Center, and I first called over there to see, because it's next door, to see, you know, if he was okay. I couldn't get through, and I'm far away right now. I thought it might be a little dangerous to get too close. I saw lots of debris coming down. And right now I'm in Battery Park. I don't know, you know, it's probably...
We're listening to the original NBC coverage of 9/11 on the Today Show. 9/11 2001.
The tower is starting to cover the top of the second tower.
In fact, we're looking at pictures right now, Jennifer, with a huge gaping hole on the side of the building and billowing smoke. So
I'm right now, you see, yeah, I think I see major fire. I definitely see fire.
And Jennifer, you said you're looking north at the building. So in other words, you're south of the building.
Yes,
is that right?
Correct.
Because we're looking at a picture that is looking at the north side of the building.
I'm on the exact opposite side.
And it appears that is where the largest hole is. And again, as you mentioned correctly, toward the top of the building, but on the north side. And then on the what I think is the west side of the building, we can also see some holes there that could have been from damage once the impact occurred. Again, we've been told that this is a plane. We don't have confirmation on that, but there is an enormous hole in the north side of that building.
So at this point, we still, you know, don't know as we're watching this what is happening. And I just remember, you know, Roger, you mentioned during the day, or trying to rig up an antenna. We did the same thing. We didn't have cable in our office building, and we were hooking up a television so we could watch all day. And literally, we got nothing done. I mean, we were glued. You know, there was staff of 30 people, and we were all in the same room, pretty much watching all day. And finally, at some point, at 1 o'clock, we said go home. And I think the thing that I remembered the most was driving around O'Hare and seeing the dead silence that was in is in the air.
They grounded everything.
They grounded everything.
Yeah. Well, the thing that was happening at our school was kids were starting to come in, having caught little bits of it at their home before they came to school, because they lived a lot closer than obviously than I did to the place. So it took me longer to get in. But these kids were coming from homes close by where they had seen this already, and they were scared coming into the school. I was trying to make sure that my kids, that I acknowledged their concern, and then teaching broadcasting, I saw it as a teachable moment where I could get them involved in how the news was being covered and why it was important to get your facts straight and everything that you would teach someone getting started in the news business. And then I thought of an assignment to channel their angst into producing music videos. There were a couple of tribute CDs that came out within days of various musical artists singing fairly patriotic songs and pulling tons of pictures off the internet and letting the students pick their songs and put together music videos to express their feelings about what had happened. So I tried to cover that side of it, too.
Well, and that was the first part when the first plane hit. Here is a little audio in real time of the second plane hit from the Today Show on September 11th, 2001.
Your concern is human loss. I mean, do you know if there were many people in the building?
Oh, another one just hit. Something else just hit. A very large plane just flew directly over my building, and there's been another collision. Can you see it?
Yes.
I can see it on this shot.
Oh, my.
Something else has just...
You know what? We just saw a plane circling the building.
It is in the other building.
We just saw a plane circling the building a second ago on the shot right before that.
I think there may have been another impact. Can you tell? I just heard another very loud bang, and a very large plane that might have been a DC-9 or a 747 just flew past my window, and I think it may have hit the Trade Center again.
To be honest, Elliot, I didn't get the impression that it was that big a plane.
It looked big from here.
I did see a plane go by a second ago, though, and it has now impacted the building. I'm trying to see if it's the different tower.
I believe the first one was World Trade Center 1, and it looks from what I'm seeing on the television like it may have been
building. This is a piece of tape, and we may actually see another plane enter the picture here in a second.
I wonder if there are air traffic control problems.
Let's go back to Jennifer Oberstein, who was talking to a second ago. Jennifer, did you see this happen?
Hello?
Did you just see this happen, Jennifer?
Matt, I've never seen any. It looks like a movie. I saw a large plane, like a jet, going immediately headed directly into the World Trade Center. It just flew into it, into the other tower, coming from south to north. I watched the plane fly into the World Trade Center.
Just the sheer fear, Dave, that was happening on that day. Not only, obviously, the people in New York and in the Pentagon on the ground, but everywhere. You didn't know what was going to happen next. Whether you were in Chicago or you were in Tulsa, you didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, as I said to Dave and Roger, I was at Illinois Radio Network, and our manager was out of town that day. He called the office. We had another person that was usually reporting from the Thompson Center. So by 9 o'clock, 9:15 this morning, in the morning, he called and said that that person should not be there. You know, we were starting to wonder what else is going to happen, you know, during the course of the day. And it was definitely confusion, fear, and that went on through the course of the day. And you mentioned the stillness of O'Hare Airport. I can remember finally leaving the office later in the afternoon, late that afternoon, and coming downtown here. Everybody went home. It's so weird to see downtown Chicago vacant.
Yeah.
Vacant.
It was very eerie. My office at the time was in Itasca, and I lived in the city, so I was literally going around O'Hare, and that's what shocked me, was just the sheer
silence.
See,
no activity at one of the world's busiest airports.
No,
right?
And I remember being glued to that TV. And by the way, the little scroll that we see on the bottom of the CNNs and the Fox News and the MSNBCs, the little scroll with the ticker on it started the week of 9/11, because people were looking for up-to-date information as soon as you turned on the TV. And I remember being glued to that set by, you know, it was midnight and we were still watching. There is a tremendous article on Politico.com that was posted, I believe, yesterday, but it's it was Friday. It's entitled, "We're the Only Plane in the Sky. Where was the president in the 8 hours after September 11th? The strange, harrowing journey of Air Force One as told by the people who were on board." So for the next 8 hours, American airspace completely cleared of just a single blue and white Boeing 747, tail number 29,000, filled with 65 passengers, crew and press, and the 43rd President George W. Bush, as well as 70 box lunches and 25 pounds of bananas, traversed the eastern United States. On board, President Bush and his aides argued about two competing interests, needing to return to Washington to reassure a nation and competing the need to protect the commander-in-chief. Because President Bush at the time said, "We're going back to Washington," and everybody told him he wasn't going. And in the Secret Service, and their role is obviously to protect him, and that comes first. Andy Card, who was on the plane with the president, reminded the president of what his mother told him when he was about to take office, was always listen to the Secret Service, who told him to keep the name in the sky. One of Andy's quotes while on the plane talked about the fact that, I'm sorry, not on the plane, but while they were on the ground, when President Bush was in that school making a presentation, he said, "When I was standing at the classroom door, I knew I was delivering a message that no president would want to hear. I knew that my message would define the moment. I decided to pass on two facts and an editorial comment. I did not want to invite conversation because the president was sitting in front of a classroom in a room of children. I entered the room and Ann Compton of ABC in the press pool gestured, 'What's up?' I gestured back to her, 'Two planes crashing.' She gestured, 'What?' Then the teacher asked the students to take out their books, so I took the opportunity to approach the president." It's the image, by the way, from AP that we're going to use on this podcast. "I took a couple of steps back so he couldn't ask any questions. The students were completely focused on their books. I remember thinking what a bizarre stage we were standing on. I was pleased with how the president reacted. He didn't do anything to create fear at the time." An awful day, a day where we lost almost 3,000 people, first responders who selflessly started climbing those stairs the moment the first Trade Tower was hit, the disbelief as the Trade Towers fell, as a plane crashed in Pennsylvania, as a plane crashed into the Pentagon. A harrowing day, a day that these families still live with every single day of their lives, with these lost ones, and how it has changed a nation, and the security.
And how it has changed our attitudes.
Attitudes.
Yeah. You know, a couple of years after that happened, I was asked to judge a video competition. And it was on documentaries, short documentaries. And one of the documentaries was on the effects, the health effects that that day had on the first responders and how the insurance companies were not paying and what these men and women were going through and what these families were going through. It was one of the most emotionally moving documentaries that I've seen. I have not seen it on public television, and I might still have the DVD at home. That's how we had to review the films.
Sure.
It was still very devastating.
Yeah, and they still struggle. A lot of these people still struggle.
Yeah, we just carried some reports on it here from ABC News during the newscast about how people are still feeling the effects of it, and some of the first responders are passing away now from those effects, those health effects.
And there will be continuing coverage throughout the day, and I'm sure on Dean Richards Sunday morning as well. And at 7:40 this morning, a live broadcast from ABC News. We'll be right back.